Oh, my.
Okay, no secret.
And Bird Ears is fucking fired, man. He's out of here.
Yeah. He glitched the best part of last show away.
He did. It was a huge, like, it was two-minute segments, and that pissed me off.
There are predator birds among us. You are quite tasty.
Some of us are scavengers.
Birdius failed us so hard. Birdius is like a diva. I don't know.
Prima donna?
I don't record. Yeah, prima donna, yeah.
Anyways, I somehow became the owner of an RV.
Congratulations. Now you can tour America.
No, you can cook meth.
And tour America.
Oh, God. No, Fleeks, I did not buy that size of an RV. But in the U.S., they make vans, you know, like passenger vans that they've converted into RVs called Class Bs. And I bought, if anyone listening knows what it is, I bought a Road Trek.
Nice.
So I was just too tempting. I love going to national parks. And so the idea I could go to a van and there's like a shower and a kitchen in it and a nest in the back sounded too fantastic. Because going to national parks in the past and then staying at a hotel 3 hours away from the park because that's how far you have to drive to get to civilization was not fun.
Oh, my.
No, I hear you there. I used to really love camping, like, until I turned, like, 18, 20. And then after I couldn't shower, or I have to, like, you know, buy a shower in a can or, like, bucket of water or whatever, I started hating it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I do in festivals? I just don't shower.
Oh, you metalhead.
Hey. Yeah, that's metal.
Stinky metalhead.
Hey, but think about it this way. This is 21st century roughing it in America. We just take our house with us on wheels. That's good.
No other country in the world would have come up with a motorized home. Only in America.
Gotta love
well,
it.
Well, I think I need to visit the U.S. and then tour with you through America. That is the best.
Well, now I'll have a house on wheels, so there you go.
No, I already told you I come to visit you someday.
So, exactly. Yeah. Now he's just going to come to steal your RV.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You drive me through whole America and...
Yep, and we will be blasting bad German techno music the whole way.
Bad German? No, there's no bad German techno. What are you talking about?
I'm sure Fleeks knows.
Yeah, what? Do you guys know Scooter?
I know Scooter. Oh my God, that actually takes me back. We were talking about video games in chat the other day, and I was talking about Road Rash 64. They featured music from Scooter in that video game.
Oh God.
Anyways, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's the typical, are you ready, in the background kind of thing.
Yeah, right. And how much is the fish?
Are you ready from Chirp Ball? Anyways.
Yeah, Scooter has this terrible song where they're asking the whole time, how much is the fish? And
okay.
It doesn't make any sense.
Nothing in this world makes sense.
Yeah, but they are really like the pure techno trash, like the dead child of the 90s. I don't know, the dead born child of the 90s. I don't know.
This is episode 10. 10!
The special Christmas episode.
Of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks. Dot.
And I'm the Chirpmas Santa.
No, you're Storm.
Which still makes me the Chirpmas Santa.
Sorry, Bird. Santa isn't real. It's just a griffin. We'll be right back.
Well, for all of the 381 of you that signed up for one of my Chirpmas cars, I was a Santa.
381 individual people?
381 cards I sent out this year.
Holy shit.
Oh, man.
I think you have an addiction, sir. There's, like, Card Givers Anonymous that you need to go see.
Oh, okay. Every time we get close to Christmas and whatnot, and I finish my card design, and I go to my local print shop to get them made, the lady looks at me and smiles and literally says, "I know it's Christmas when I get your card order." I'm like, "Why is that?" She said, "Because you have the most unique Christmas cards I have ever seen in my life."
That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Always when I print furry stuff somewhere, like the Bird Crew shirt, or when I do it at local shops or gifts for other furries, I did... that box exchange and gift exchange for a while, a lot. Anyways, they're always asking, "Hey, what is it? This? What is this? For what is this?" and stuff. And I'm always like, "Hey, yeah, it's some internet community that likes birds, for example, for a bird shirt."
Oh, well, aren't you the sweetheart?
Yeah.
You were saying, yeah. What's this? And suddenly Nightmare Before Christmas like pops in my head. What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? Little white things in the air. Like,
you're already warming up.
Yeah, well, you know, got to get them bird vocals stretched. We're going to be going around singing all Christmas Eve. Speaking of Christmas and whatnot, I've got a question for you both.
Uh-oh.
What are your favorite and least favorite Christmas traditions?
Okay. I don't know whether Fleeks is going to go or not.
I'm honest. I think my favorite part of Christmas are the gifts.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And doing presents and sharing art with others and stuff. That stuff makes me somehow happy. And of course, I really like the decoration at the Christmas market. But I really hate Glühwein. I talked a few episodes before about that. It's that warm red wine with Christmas seasoning.
This doesn't even sound pleasant.
Yeah, but it also has like orange juice in it and stuff. So I just don't like warm alcohol, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that when we were talking about sake.
Except sake. I have to say that. Warm sake is great.
Okay. As far as Christmas traditions go, we have kind of a mini family get-together. Well, it's not mini. There's like probably about 20 people that show up. But we have this get together at my sister's house every Christmas morning, and I love my family. I love them dearly, but waking up at 8 a.m. in the morning to drive 20 miles down there in usually snowy weather and then being harassed by 10 dogs while we eat breakfast is not the most pleasant, because my sister collects dogs. She has...
like my mother.
She has every rare pupper that you have never seen.
Oh, I'm sure that would be very cute for about 10 minutes.
About 3 minutes, you're happy. And then you're like, please fuck off. Stop humping my leg.
Yeah.
In my family, I've got a couple of traditions I love and hate. First things about Christmas, I love doing my Chirpmas cards, because I've been doing those for 10 years now, for anyone keeping track. I also love the decorations. And I love meeting and getting together with family and friends. Though sometimes I wish those meetings were shorter than others, depending on the person. But it's nice to at least reconnect for a little. Traditions that drive me nuts are, in my family, we play something called the dollar game. And that is, every person brings 5 gifts that are worth a few bucks, and they wrap them up, and we pile them into the center of the room in this big, big pile. And then I go around and hand everyone numbers. and then we take turns, and everyone goes and takes a gift. Well, what's interesting is you're allowed to steal gifts from other members as well, but a gift in our game can only be stolen twice. After it's stolen twice, that's it. For some reason, my grandfather does not understand this rule. And as a result, every year, all hell ends up breaking loose with my grandfather hiding stuff around his house, cheating accusations flying back and forth, kids eating candy that are some of the gifts when they're not supposed to. And it's just this great family clusterfuck that we do every year. And everyone loves it. But by the time it's over, we're like, we can never do this again. And then we do it again next year. It's like, oh, my God.
Well,
the one thing I absolutely hate about Christmas is the music. I'm so done with Christmas music by about the end of the third day.
I haven't really heard any this year because I somehow
my Walmart and by me, the Walmart I go to all the time in Portage, Indiana, and they actually, while I was there, switched from playing Christmas music over the PA system to Eminem rap. It was great.
Someone got sick of it. Like, someone who was stocking in warehouse, they were done. And they'll do that, like, usually during the stocking hours between 2 and 6 a.m. They'll, like, swap, like, someone will just plug in their MP3 player to the PA system instead. I've heard that before.
Oh, it was great. And the employees, because I was there about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the employees were just like audibly relieved when you started hearing Eminem Shake That Ass For Me instead of, you know, the weather outside is frightful.
Exactly.
Oh, God, I got a kick out of that.
Well, I have to explain something, and that's... In Germany, we are celebrating. We are not celebrating Christmas like the Americans. We get our presents at Christmas Eve, in the evening. So that's different. We are eating, like that's very different from family to family. But some families are eating like a goose, a stuffed or something like it's. Almost like a Thanksgiving dinner, you know what I mean? And yeah. Others are eating like sausages and cheese or something, yeah. That's something not very festive in my opinion, but yeah. And yeah, we are doing it at the Christmas Eve, and then on the other days we are like visiting family and whatever, but yeah, it's different from family to family, but the common thing is gifts on Christmas Eve.
And bratwurst.
And also, not for me. I get good food on Christmas
bratwurst
Eve.
Bratwurst is delicious. But,
yeah, it is delicious, but it's not for Christmas, goddammit.
According to who?
The bylaws of Christmas lawyers? I don't know.
So, guys, what do you bring to drink today?
Oh, yeah.
What did you bring?
I'm just back to the Coronas right now. I didn't go out and get anything special.
I have, for the Christmas episode, I have a Christmas beer. And it's the Fest beer. That's a beer style here that's traditionally to Christmas. It's available to Christmas traditionally, and it's from the Riedenburger Brewery, and yeah, it seems like it's organic, and it tastes pretty good. I was surprised.
Organic beer?
I did not see it was organic. I just bought it because, Christmas beer. But it's surprisingly good, and it's brewed after, after the purity law in Germany, so no special editions or something, and it's really good.
I'm really curious about these German purity laws of beer. Like, I'm gonna have to look into them because that's just it's foreign. Like, it's a foreign thought to me that Germany, of all places, is gonna have like something pertaining to like limiting beer. That's unheard of.
No, yeah, we're... because they take it too seriously.
Yeah, we are only allowed to put in a few different kinds of stuff in the beer. So, there are different brewing styles, so the beers are prevent so much from happening. That's pretty good. I like to put fruits in beer at some extent and stuff. So, but I still love even the real beer in yeah.
But then, how do companies like Schufferhofer, did I say that right? How do they get away with doing grapefruit in beer?
It's not forbidden to do it, but you have to call it Mischbier then. Like you have, and it's not allowed to do it in the brewing process. In so they just like they brew their beer and then they add like lemonade to it or something.
Gotcha. Okay.
Juices. But it's not allowed to do it in the brewing process and call it beer afterwards.
Okay.
It's a mixed beer then. Mixed beer is allowed, but yes, most of Germans don't really like mixed beers.
Well, Storm was talking about, well, I mean, you brought up bratwurst and stuff, and we were going to talk about, like, I guess, traditional foods. Is that right?
One of the favorite things I would do in my family was after we had traditional Christmas with my grandparents, which is usually early afternoon because, you know, they're old and go to bed early, is my family would go to McDonald's right before they closed and have a Christmas dinner there. And we did that for years.
Do you know that Japanese people go actually to KFC? It's like KFC made a tradition there. They created a tradition for Japanese people to go to KFC on Christmas.
That just sounds so Japanese. There's another thing is last year there was a French fry shortage, well, a whole potato shortage going on in Japan because they only just started bringing French fries over there into McDonald's and stuff. So there was this massive shortage because like Japanese people were having this obsessive, like, we love French fries. They would have whole French fry parties. You can Google this and see pictures of like a crowd of people around a table and just trays filled with French fries, absolutely packed with French fries. And they're just pouring ketchup and like chowing down on them.
That sounds mildly... wow, that sounds more like an addiction than someone that's interested in French fries. Holy
they were
shit.
Legitimately called French fry parties.
I'm going to assume, though, that the French fries McDonald's released over there probably are of higher quality than the French fries McDonald's sells here.
Well, no, because here's the thing. McDonald's itself has a universal set standard. And so this is true for any country you go to. Like, if you go to a country where you can't eat their food, like... for example, you have a sensitive stomach, so you go to Mexico and you can't really handle like the spicy, you know, all the salsa stuff. If you eat out of McDonald's, you will get the same quality McDonald's food at a Mexican McDonald's as you would at American, European, wherever, because it's just one huge set standard.
But I know this from my experience because I've eaten at McDonald's in Canada, I've eaten at McDonald's in the UK. They do not taste the same.
Yep. I was in a McDonald's in Egypt, and oh my fucking god, it was so much better even. like oh fucking god. But then I was in a McDonald's in Ireland, and it was so horrible. Really, it was freaking horrible. It tasted so bad. I don't know. I love burgers, and you can't do much wrong with burgers. But I don't know what they did. But they did.
McDonald's is just the sad.
They're totally wrong.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is they use different kinds of potato worldwide, depending on what they can get for a given market. So the fries they'll be similar, but there's still enough of a difference to where if you know the taste profile, I think call it, you'll taste little differences. But for me, though, what the biggest difference was is in Australia, the beef tasted 40,000 times better than the beef I got here. In the U.S., in the Chicago area. Why? I think it might have to do with the way they regulate beef over there. I don't know. It just tasted really moist and delicious. Here, the only way I get a moist and delicious McDonald's burger is if I ask for it fresh off the grill, and then I eat it within 5 minutes.
That's why
I don't do that.
That's why In-N-Out Burger exists in America. Have you had... Storm, you've been to the West Coast, right? Like California, Nevada.
Yes.
Have you had In-N-Out Burger?
Yes, I have.
Okay, because that's some high quality burgers right there.
Well, Inabout Burger tastes really good. I don't know if it's like the greatest burger, I suppose.
I wouldn't say the greatest, no, but it is, as far as like a standardized burger goes, that's probably the best you're going to get out of like a super chain restaurant.
Well, the best burger it's like a semi-chain, it's available in most of the big cities in the U.S., is called an Unami Burger. Have you ever heard of it?
I have, yes.
I particularly love their Manly Burger. It has like onion strings on it and homemade ketchup, and it's unbelievable in terms of the quality of the burger itself, the way it's presented. It doesn't cost a lot for the quality level you get, but it's really thick too. Like the patty was almost an inch thick.
Nice. That sounds very, very tasty. That sounds about like the Wendy's burgers, because they're really thick and they come with bacon and like lots of cheese and they're super greasy.
In Germany, one of the best chains, chains is Sam Kuhlman's diner. I don't know if that's a thing in the US, but that's like an diner that pretends to be an American diner.
A diner that pretends to be an American diner. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it tries.
That's a cute concept.
It tries to be. Oh. It's like with they. That's one of the only restaurant I go where they like show you where to sit. That's totally not a thing in Germany normally, but
oh,
yeah, they are like showing you really? Where to sit. Yeah,
really. Huh. Well,
and they come all the time and asking you if you want more, like this typical German thing. Because in Germany, they actually do not like come to you. You have to call for your service, for the service person.
That's a foreign concept to me, and I don't like it.
In Germany, you really. I heard about the differences. I never was in America, so
I'm not joking. That makes me like a little uncomfortable. Like the thought of having to go into a restaurant and then like go seat myself and then call someone over. That does not make me happy.
Okay. If you sit down the first time, they will come to you and ask you what you want. Then they will bring it to you. And everything, if you want a refill, what's not free in Germany, by the way, you have to buy your refill.
What the fuck?
If you want a refill, you have to get your head and call for the... for the service person. And also, okay, so... but the good thing is you can sit at your table as long as you want, even after you have finished eating. You can like sit an hour there and nobody will throw you out.
Well, you can pretty much do that here too, except unless they're like really busy. Then they're like, please order something or leave. Whole level of discomfort to me is because here... If you sit down and you're at a table and you've been served, your waiter is going to come stop by the table like at least three times during your meal and be like, is everything okay? Can I get you anything? And then dart off before you can say yes or no.
That would annoy every German. That would, because Germans want to...
If it's more than three times, it's super annoying.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, you know why they don't do that here in Germany? Because they get enough money. They do not live from the tips. So I heard in the U.S. they are living from the tips. They need the tips.
Yeah,
so
they'll only make like $3 or $4 an hour, and then they survive off of, you know, whatever amount of tips they make as well.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know that we have restaurants where you sit down yourself or seat yourself. A lot of those typically like little self-service cafes where you sort of go up, order, and take your food to your table. I've been to a few where they have wait service, but most of the time you show up and a hostess seats you, and then the waitress, I don't know by you, Cor, but by me, the wait staff at a good restaurant will check up on you every 5 minutes to 10 minutes. They won't ask you if you need something every 5 minutes. They'll just kind of walk by your table and look to see if your drinks are low, and then they'll just refill you out of courtesy.
Yeah.
Fleeks, just to show you how 180 things are in the U.S., our German restaurants, which the most famous one, at least by me, is called Hofbräuhaus. they literally seat us on long, long wooden tables. So they'll put four or five families together with little gaps between them. And then next thing you know, 70-year-old grandparents will get drunk and dance on the table. That's the kind of restaurant it is. Pretty much the only place you can take your kid when they're misbehaving, because the waitstaff act even more rambunctious than your kids. But even there, they seat you and assign you tables and such and whatnot.
I've got a question for you, Fleeks.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Beer Fest?
Yeah, and it's pretty trashy.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw. I think it's trashy enough to watch it together with an American. Watching it.
It expands on every single German stereotype in the world. Yes, at least yeah. From America's perspective. But I think that's part of the reason I love it so much.
Yeah, it is so trashy that's somehow good again. This Stiefel trinken, yeah? You know that what they drink from the shoe, from the boot.
Yes,
know?
Das Boot.
Das Boot, and that's not really much of a thing in Germany. That was actually the first time I ever heard of that.
Well, it's a tradition between me and my friends now. That's how much we adored that movie, is we all went out and we bought glass Das Boots.
So, God. So,
yeah, Das Boot is a meme.
What I love most about German restaurants, because I've been to a couple in the U.S., is no matter which one I go to, whether it's in a little town or in like Hofbräuhaus by me, which is in Rosemont, which is pretty much Chicago, is holy shit, do they take their alcohol seriously. A small glass is the size of like a boot at Hofbräuhaus. What's that? You want this small German beer? Here's the beer. And here's this giant fucking boot with a handle, smacks it on the table so a little bit of beer spills out and says, "You drink up, be a man." So, what the fuck?
Yeah, we have huge sizes of glasses.
But my beer today, since I wanted to keep in the spirit of Christmas and Christmas themed, I decided to once again have a Wild Blue Premium Blueberry Lager. The bottle has blue labels all over it, and one of the Christmas colors is blue, and I love blueberry lager, so fuck it. I'm having one. What about you, Fleeks?
I already said that I have that Fest beer.
You have the Fest beer. What's it actually taste like?
It's pretty mild and soft, and it has some sweetness. It's very malty. It's very good to drink. I already emptied the half bottle, and yeah, it's not filtered. So you have like how's the word for that?
They strained it with a cheesecloth, and then you know you still have little bits of flaky stuff going through it.
Yeah, it's murky. It's
Those are usually actually kind of delicious in my opinion.
Yeah, I loved it too. It's like,
Now, we'll jump off the restaurant talk for a second here, but before we do, I wanted to, because Storm, you were talking about this German restaurant where they like the waiter was kind of abusive to you in the sense of like, drink it, be a man, that kind of thing. Have you ever been to like restaurants like Dick's Last Resort or like places where they actually verbally abuse you? Like it's one of those gitchy things, like that's their attraction feature where you go in and instead of being nice and polite, the waiters are the exact opposite and they're rude and disrespectful.
I have.
Welcome to Charlie.
Almost. I have almost gone to one. The thing is I knew someone that's gone to the Dick's Last Resort. And while it sounds like a good time, if I'm going to pay that much money, I want good food. And the people that have gone there three or four times have told me, you know, the experience is fun. The waitstaff treat you like shit in a fun way. Food's kind of meh. So,
you know, it's been literally years since I went to one, but I kind of feel I can say that on par as well. So it was fun to go to it. I was probably like 15 at the time we went to it. We went with my now departed grandmother at the time. We went down to one, and we went in there, and like it was hilarious because they're like, okay, well, here, sit. And they threw napkins down on the table, so they like covered the table like in an instant. And we're like, oh, okay, sat down. And the waitress comes back. She has this paper. She writes social security number 000000001. She writes that on it and then sticks it on my grandma's head.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Anyways, oh, no, they don't have social security numbers in Germany. Sorry, Fleeks. What they are is...
Yeah, we have like something similar, but it's not called social security. No, it's called social security, yeah. I have a social security number, too.
Okay.
And Canada and other countries, they have a different name for it. But pretty much every first world nation has something similar.
It's your citizen's number.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, more or less. I have a game for you. And it's like fake or not fake. Or like true or... Sorry. Yeah, I will try to bullshit you, and I read like bird facts, and you have to guess if it's a lie or if it's true.
So is it like two truths and a lie, or just like true or false?
True or false.
Okay. Yeah. In that case, yeah, bring it on.
I don't have a name for the game yet, like you noticed, but yeah. And the first fact...
We could, for future reference, we could totally do a two truths and a lie about, like, a bird fact kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
It's hard to
come up with them. But, okay. Yeah. So, the first thing I say it's a fact is that birds have both top and bottom eyelids like humans. But, however, flightless birds... generally only have a lower eyelid.
Flightless birds generally only have?
Yeah, eyelid.
I'm going to say true.
Only one. What do you say, Storm?
False.
Okay, then the first point goes to Core, because that was right. Flightless birds generally only have a lower eyelid.
Hooray!
Wow.
The next fact is, and you have to find out if I bullshit you, is that birds have very small lungs compared to humans. A human's lung composes about 10% of its body, but a bird's takes up only 5%.
False.
I'm going to go with false as well.
Both of you go false?
Yes.
Correct.
Then you're both right, because it's the other way around. A human's lung composes about 5% of its body, but a bird takes about 20% of its body.
Dear God.
Yeah, they have like huge lungs, and they need that huge lungs because they're not really, they're breathing, but they like, not actively.
It's more they hold their breath while they're flying, kind of. They don't really hold it, but they...
Yeah, they need a lot of air in their lungs to get enough oxygen in their wings, in their wing muscles.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah?
Fleeks, quick question, since we're on the bird. If a bird usually has that size of a lung, okay? Mm-hmm. How big are the lungs on something like a hummingbird, given how fast they beat their wings?
Probably the same, just in comparison to the body, you know what I mean?
About 20% perhaps of the body is still very big.
Man, them hummingbirds can flap their wings so fast, you'd think they'd be going through oxygen, nothing.
Probably they do, and they have a very high heart rate, as far as I know.
Damn it, Storm, now I'm thinking of the video of the little tiny hummingbird that's asleep and it's snoring. Fuck.
Aww.
You should Google that. Okay, then I will give you the other facts.
Okay.
Okay, do I bullshit you if I say, unlike most birds that sing, a woodpecker will drum its beak against a tree? There, you know that's true. So, but the thing is, other woodpeckers can identify which bird it is by the sound of the drumming. So every individual woodpecker has its own beat.
True.
What does Storm say?
That sounds like something that would be true.
Yeah, and it is true. So both of you get a point. So that was an easy one, right?
Yeah. I watched Discovery Channel. Hooray!
Next thing, an ostrich. We have ostriches again. And also I found a lot of fun ostrich facts, but I only do one in that question, in that round. An ostrich has a complete separation of feces and urine, what's very unique among birds.
False.
A complete separation of feces and urine. I'm going to say that's false.
Both of you say it's false?
Yeah.
It was actually right. So that they are like that very unique birds. They really separate their urine and their feces.
Huh.
Wow.
The more you know.
Wow. That's duly very noted. Interesting.
So the other thing I have is worldwide about 1 million birds are killed by cats annually. Worldwide and annually. 1 million birds a year. Yeah.
I would have no idea whether it would be true or false, so I'm just going to say false for the sake of saying false.
Okay, what do you say, Storm?
1 million.
1 million birds worldwide.
I personally think it would be lower. That's just me.
That seems like a very high number.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would think even worldwide annually it would be like 10,000, maybe.
Yeah.
At least, that death specifically by cat.
Yeah, that sounds a little high, so I'm going to say false.
Okay, you're both right. As you said, it's false, but you're totally not right with numbers, because in the continental U.S. alone, between 1.4 billion... and 3.7 billion birds are killed by cats annually.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a lot. They are like killing them. It's a high kill count.
I guess we're not taking into account all the dumb birds out there.
I did not believe the numbers, but then I read about it, and then it was explained and stuff, and wow.
Hashtag ban all cats.
Yeah, that your cat butt is evil. Storm,
did you hear that? Your lower half is plotting against you.
Yes.
We'll kill you.
We're in a permanent state of tug of war. The problem is my lower half tries to strangle my upper half, but then we realize we're better predators if we're together, so we just go and hunt other things. So it works out.
So, another one.
Uh-oh.
A green woodpecker can eat as many as 10,000 ants per day.
Ants? Hmm. Termites?
Ants.
I'll say yes. That sounds right.
What do you say, Storm?
I actually think that might be an accurate figure, because I read something that they can eat a lot. And ants are small, so why not?
So, truth or not?
Truth.
True.
Truth. You're both wrong. It's just 2,000.
Only 2,000 ants.
Yeah.
I just kind of figured with the way they metabolize. Yeah, that sounds low.
Yeah.
Goddess.
Yeah, I have two more, and then I have a final question. So if it gets too long, I don't know. Swifts spend most of their lives in the air. Swifts spend more of their lives in the air. They can even sleep in the air by gliding on air currents with their wings outstretched.
Swifts? Is that a species of bird?
Yeah. They're like the general thing is they can sleep while they fly.
I don't know, so I'm going to say true.
What do you think, Storm?
Sleeping while you can fly. Sounds, unless you're talking about micro-sleeping.
No real sleeping.
That sounds like something that would be false, because a sudden wind current shift or whatnot, and you'd be crashing to your death.
But I would imagine, well, I would imagine that if they're up high enough, that if, you know, they tilt, if they, you know, they're going to wake up before they actually hit the ground because they're going to feel themselves plummeting.
So perhaps, but can, how restful a sleep would it be? But I don't know. Gut says that I can see your point, Core, so I'm definitely more in the middle on this. But for sake of argument, I'm going to say false. They probably sleep on the ground.
Storm, you're wrong. And Core, you're right. The Swift actually is. He likes always flies. He's rarely on the ground or on trees. He's like doing his life in the air. So they are really sleeping while they are glide on currents in the air. They can like feel the currents and can use them to sleep on them. It's very fascinating, I think.
Like how forces can sleep standing up, I guess. I guess that makes sense.
Something along those lines. I feel like I'd heard it somewhere before, like just way back in my mind. So that's why
I stated that some more than once in the bird crew. I think
like a while back. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and then before we come to the final bonus question, the last thing I want to ask you is I want to state. A bird's beak weighs more than its skeleton.
Bird's beak, skeleton alone. Gonna go with false.
Okay, what do you go with, Storm?
Bird's skeleton is incredibly light and hollow. So I would say the beak does weigh more.
And again, I tricked you, Storm. That's not true. It sounds like it could be legit, but... Actually, it's the feathers that weigh more than the skeleton. So their feathers weigh more than their skeleton, but the beak is like part of the skeleton.
Okay.
It's not really part of it, but yeah, it does not. Maybe for a toucan, that's legit. I don't know, but...
Oh, you were saying specifically the beak more than the skeleton.
Yeah, that was just a theory, but generally it is not true.
No, okay, all right. The beak more than the skeleton, so the thing. The skeleton by itself with nothing else on it weighs more than the beak.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned feathers, and feathers changes them. Feathers is a different ball.
Yeah, I said that the feathers are weighing more than the skeleton.
Right.
Not that the feathers are part of the skeleton.
It's like, what weighs more, a ton of bricks or a ton of feathers?
Well...
If you drop a hammer...
Here's
a question. If you drop a hammer and you drop a feather on the moon, what'll hit the ground first?
They'll hit the
Balls
same
time. Will hit at the same time.
Yep.
Because they have no air...
So there's no resistance.
Block. Yeah, no air resistance. I had physics. So,
question for you. What is the worst... or tackiest Christmas gift you've ever received?
I don't remember.
Do you mean the worst gift I ever got?
Yes, the worst, weirdest, like what the hell were you thinking gift?
My mom gave me a microwave to one Christmas, and I really thought, like, I already have one. I don't need one. Fuck, what? Did you really spend money for that? I even have a better microwave in my home.
Oh.
And she thought I wished one. Oh, God. Yeah, she did not know that I have one. And one year before I got this microwave, she came already up with buying me a microwave. And yeah, but I sold it and got money for it, so it's okay.
So the tradition is buy Fleeks a microwave for Christmas.
No.
You heard it here. If you want to give Fleeks a gift this Christmas or next Christmas or any Christmas, get him a microwave.
Fleeks Microwave Emporium. All the microwaves you could ever want.
No, I definitely stay with my I actually have a microwave. That's the language of this microwave is Netherlands.
So I just wanted to give a shout out to Chai Cockatiel. She's a cockatiel, right? Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, Chai Cockatiel. She's in bird chat, but we did want to give a shout out to you because you've done so many amazing drawings, you know, just before the Christmas time, and you've been giving out ungodly amounts of gift art. Holy hell, how do you even do it?
But, yeah, and her reason was just to make people happy. Heartwarming.
Exactly, and they're really good. They're really all adorable.
Yeah, I got one too, and I'm very happy about it.
So I just wanted to give you a shout-out and say thank you for being amazing. You're a wonderful part of the community, and thank you for being part of the chat.
And I want to, if you're on that, I'm thankful to all the birds who supported me in the past, with my shirt business, with my shirt sellings, who made me able to make a shirt real. I wanted to do that since years, and I never was able because I did not get enough people who pre-ordered something or some shirts. But since I really love shirt design and stuff, it was so great to get supported by other birds and birds lovers. And so if you hear that, if you ordered the first shirts and all the other shirts that followed, like the Griffin shirt, thank you so much for your support.
I'm just out of curiosity, how many shirts in total do you think you've sold?
Good question, but I think it's about 150 or 200, something in that direction.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I never thought. I did not make much of an earning out of that still because I tried to keep the prices low. But there was some troubles with shipping and stuff. And but I learned, and I think I will get rich with the next one. No,
yes,
just kidding.
Yes. Next Bird Crew shirts coming out will cost over 9,000.
9,000 what? Pennies. So 90 bucks? No. What? Anyways, yeah. I actually do have Chai's FA pulled up in front of me. So Chai's FA is Har Loves Ya, HARLUVSYA. So go give her some love.
So are y'all ready to do a couple of questions?
Yeah.
You cut those.
Okay. First question of the day comes from the legendary Reg Day. The question is this. What are your best and worst Christmas songs?
Cor, you don't need to answer this question. I know how much it hurts. I think we killed him.
Oh god.
He gave up on life. He gave up on life.
My favorite song. Shit, I don't know if any of them are my favorite by this time of the year. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, they all, listen, when I hear Christmas music, it gets me warm and fuzzy, but I swear to God, if I hear Frosty the Snowman or Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow one more fucking time.
Yeah, those are the two most overplayed of all of them.
Oh, my God. Shoot me.
I actually do not like a lot of Christmas songs. I mean, they are in the background and they make me some Christmas mood. But actually, all Christmas songs are the problem of Christmas songs is that they are sensational and that you can only hear
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh my God! Please
Santa
no.
Santa Claus is coming.
But there's actually
Santa Claus is coming to. Oh God.
So,
do you know the German song O Tannenbaum?
Oh yes, I've heard that too.
O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum, wie schön sind. And do you know the band Psycho Stick?
Yes,
they have a great, really great interpretation of O Tannenbaum in German, in Rammstein style.
I'm going to have to listen to that. I'm sorry. I was really excited when you said Psycho Stick because I actually adore Psycho Stick.
I adore them too, man. Do you want a taco? Taco. Do you? Do you?
Beer is good. Beer is good. Beer is good. And stuff.
And stuff.
Anyway, so as far as like enough. The cheery Christmas songs go, I'm pretty much okay with them. Like, I can tune those out. So if, you know, you hear like Santa Claus is coming to town or whatever, I can just push that to the back of my mind and survive it. Like, it's not going to bother me. It's the slow songs that for some reason they just permeate my brain and then I can't get them out for the rest of the day. So like, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Fuck that song.
Trust me, when it was negative 20 out and I had a blizzard and a foot of snow with 2 feet against my actual doors last week, I felt the same way.
Yeah, right. Oh also, man, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Oh no, please fuck off. Just
well, in Germany we have a lot of real sad Christmas songs. Like, if you hear them, you're depressed. Because it goes about children are dying and...
Oops.
Oh. Yeah, they're like sad about love to children, and then the child died on Christmas and wow. And it's really like, why even? It should be a... Yeah, but... Yeah, some people decided to make songs about dying children.
Well, I mean, German Santa Claus is Krampus, right?
No, or Santa Claus is actually the Christkind, the Christchild.
Then whose was Krampus again? Because there are a lot of...
Krampus is like the one who goes with the Saint Nicholas.
Yeah.
That's like that's on the 6th of December. And all the people are like confusing Nicholas with Santa Claus. So that's a different story. That's some holy figure from the Christian beliefs.
Saint Nicholas? I think that's Catholic?
Yeah, St. Nicholas, that's Catholic, yeah, right. The Protestants do not celebrate that guy.
Okay, next question for you guys to keep it moving on here. What gadget essentially asks the following? Bread or seeds, what to eat on Christmas Day? So basically what I believe he's asking is, how would an ideal Burdanian Christmas dinner look like?
I already thought about that question because I thought it's a fun question. And I think it would be like a steamed, huge bird fat ball where everything is mixed in. Like, it depends on what kind of bird's eating it. But if you have like meat eating or omnivore birds, then it would probably contain like larvae, worms and seeds and fats, and then it's just steamed like a dumpling, and you put it on the middle of the table and cut it.
See,
you all know bird fat balls.
And I'm just happy with freshly killed road. I'm just happy with fresh roadkill.
Yeah. Yeah, like a vulture.
See, for griffins, that's a nice, delicious breakfast, a nice, delicious Danian Christmas dinner for us would be some nice recently killed animal, probably horse, with a side of the freshest fish of the sea you can get, slowly cooked just a bit to sear in that flavor, plus some bird seed and nuts for our avian friends. There was this question that was asked, and it was asked by Fee. What do you guys think of an idea of Bird Crew the movie? What genre would it be? Action, drama, horror? And what would the general story be?
Mystery musical.
Mystery musical?
I wanted to say the genre is just bird, but mystery musical, perfect. And it would be a musical. It would be go about birds. Like, what are doing the birds? What's the storyline? I think it would be like
It would be. I think it would be like a murder mystery. So someone's murdered Fetty Kex,
the raven.
And the rest of us are trying to figure out who.
The Raven Butler, of course.
Of course.
with a shiny monocle and.
You see, I think it would be, yeah, mystery musical definitely would be a component to it, but I think it would just end up turning into a bad Saturday Night Live comedy skit toward the end. It just, no, the feathers would fly, and next thing you know, we'd be dancing. It would be great.
He was murdered by the raven in the bedroom with a bad dragon toy.
And what was the motive? The motive? The motive.
The motive is to get more bird seed. Always.
Bird seed.
Yes.
Sorry.
Seed. Yes. Let your mind go where
I wanted
wants
to go.
Occasionally, we need to say something that at least earns us that explicit title on iTunes. Just once in a while.
No, he literally spoke about bird seed. Yeah, like the
penis.
Okay, no, we had a hypo quota. He said he actually said penis. I also like the question of Sunparab. I don't know if this is how to pronounce it. It's his name or their name. I don't know. Afterwards, what is the one Christmas movie you want to watch every year? Is there something like that for you?
Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Nightmare Before Christmas, because I'm unoriginal, and that's pretty much all I watch. I watch it on Halloween, and then I watch it again on Christmas. So
as kid, I used to watch Mrs. Brisby and the Secret of Nim, and the other one was Princess Mononoke.
I can't.
Mononoke. I don't know. What?
Have I told the story about why I can't watch Princess Mononoke?
No, you haven't, but you will.
But I will, okay. Next episode.
Okay, next episode you will hear why. Why you can't. And we actually will talk about New Year's traditions, I hope. But that's for next time.
And so, I think we're coming to the end of this episode, so was there anything else we wanted to wrap up with?
Yes.
I wanted to do Yuku a favor. Because he told me that he wants to hear me sing Hoppe Hoppe Right, and I'm actually drunk enough to do it.
Oh, okay, here we go.
And that's only for you, Yuku, because of your grandiose donation, because you're a great pink guy. So I sing it for you. And, put yourself in the right position for that. 1, 2, 3. Hoppe, hoppe, Reiter, wenn fällt, dann schreit fällt in den Graben, fressen ihn die Raben, macht Reiter plumm. Nein, I fucked it up. Fällt in den Sumpf, dann macht Reiter plumps. I did not repeat it now, but... And the literal translation of that song is Hoppe, hoppe, Reiter, if he falls, he screams. If he's falling in a pit, then the ravens will eat him.
Yes.
If he, if he falls in a swamp, then he makes plum.
Okay.
Coming soon.
That's the information.
Fleek's greatest hits. Stay tuned.
I think we'll just end up creating the Bird Life greatest hits. Because each of
there
us will have sang something.
There you go.
So that was my first time singing in Bird.life.
I'd like to end this podcast with a special announcement. The Ministry of Avian Diversity for Birdania would like to announce that CORE has something special to show us for the benefits of all of our Birdanian peoples.
Yes.
So, CORE, would you like to go ahead and take it from there?
Home of the winged, the feathered, and forever free. Flying dawn into the dark with courage. Back to the Birdania, Birdania. All glory to Birdania, Birdania, Birdania. Forever free, Birdania. Our eager heart speaks pointed up with pride, we cry. Horizon ahead, wings spread out, we claim the sky. Birdania, Birdania, all glory to Birdania. Birdania, Birdania, forever free Birdania. I'm gonna go drink.
Oh, that was a great song, Cor. How did you do that?
I'm gonna go drink myself to sleep now because yes, I actually composed and sang that song. Now, hang on. So we actually were running a contest earlier this week in just regular Bird Crew, for what would be the national anthem of Birdania, and there was absolutely no submissions except for one, which was from Star Chaser. So thank you so much, Star Chaser, for actually creating that submission. The only thing is his submission was the lyrics were put to the USSR's national anthem. And I don't really want to go too political here, but I also don't want to, like, you know, we're not going to do the Russian national anthem. Sorry.
Why not? Birdania, there were some badass
Birdania,
birds.
Birdania, forever free. I still have an earworm.
So it's all that said, I took his lyrics, tweaked them a little bit, shifted them around, and actually, I can totally play his submission if you guys want to hear it. Yes? Sure. No? Okay. Let me.
It would make Vladimir Putin very.
I'll get it pulled up here, but. So I took his lyrics and just kind of redid them over these lyrics.
Birdania, Birdania, all glory to Birdania, the home of the winged, the feathered, and the free. Birdania, Birdania, long live Birdania, forever shall we have peace and prosperity.
So thank you so much for that submission, Star Chaser, and you officially get attribution points for the new national anthem of Birdania.
He will probably be a bright red when he hears that on the...
And I'll actually post the national anthem into the extras section now that we actually have something to put into the extras section of the website.
Yes. Also, you will probably find some artwork and stuff soon. Oh my.
That too.
Remember, the national anthem is required listening material for all birds.
Also, hint, 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 hint. We are taking fan art.
Yes.
This is the first time hearing about it.
We are taking fan art. So yeah, if you would like to contribute to Birdanian, the Ministry of Birdania's propaganda department, by all means, please send in some fan art.
And you can do that through any of our submission methods, but probably best would be beep@bird.life. That's our email address. It's the most birdy email address on Earth. You can also
taking... Sorry, we're also taking love letters. I just wanted to say that we're also taking love letters.
We're taking anything that inflates our ego, please.
And for the record, the complaints department is not up my ass, for the record.
Yeah, but I ain't going to change that. It's just a humorous tradition now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll humorous, go with that.
Humorous tradition.
Anyways, you can catch us on Facebook and Twitter, Bird Life Podcast. You can also join us on Telegram on the Bird Life Podcast group chat. It's just telegram.me/birdlife.
There you go.
So you can check us out. You can come chat with us. And as always, you can subscribe by the RSS feed, iTunes, or Google Play Music. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to kiss a bird. Kiss a bird.
Kiss a bird.
Oh, yes.
Kiss a bird. Kiss a bird.
Fleeks. Don't forget. Why don't you tell them what kissing a bird means and does?
Kissing a bird. Kissing a bird is the greatest experience you can have in your life. And you can have it on our website for only $1. $1. Only $1. And it helps us actually to keep the servers running and all the other costs that comes with a top-level domain and a server. You know what I mean. And... if you spend like I don't know, you get a kiss for every single dollar, and if you spend enough, we're even doing a song or poem or whatever we are thinking of for you. If you go crazy with the donation, I think we will come up with something like, I don't know, super crazy.
Oh yeah,
the next person that donates something of significance, I will write a Burdanian propaganda piece in their honor.
There you go. So what it is there's a button on the website. If you click it, it donates a dollar. If you enjoyed an episode, we ask that you donate a dollar. If you want to donate more, there's a little itty bitty teeny tiny link underneath the Kiss a Bird picture. You have to find it. Use a magnifying glass. But if you want to donate more than a dollar, you can click that and be able to donate more than a dollar, any amount you want. But as always, we appreciate any that you give us. It means a lot.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
And don't forget to beep. Listen well, boys.
Ooh.
Okay.
Now he's talking. He's got my attention. How about you, Storm?
Oh, boy.
No, I can't read the question because I have... Okay.